previously on Three of Hearts.
In a flashback, Agent Villain met Jack Spade, a sentient corgi, and proposed the creation of suits, citing a need to protect others that stems from the death of his parents at the hands of a werelion. Meanwhile, in present day, he and Spar had a sweet moment and shared a nap together in Spar's childhood bed. When questioned by his sister Sorrel about his feelings for Villain, Spar states that would be inappropriate, which does nothing to assure anyone of anything. After catching Sorrel up on the goings-on in Clovenheart, the three set out to attend Bridge, the godless church popularized by Mayor Thorne, in hopes that it will provide insight onto the goings-on in town.
So yeah, it's held in a like a canvas tent, dome-shaped, and it has various, well, the four playing card suits, like, painted onto the side of the tent, repeatedly in, like, a pattern. And, yeah, people are milling in, as you guys kind of arrive. And I assume, like, the whole Felspar family is kind of going together, along with Zochi, who'd been hanging out there today, so. Oh, shit. I guess Tatiana's going too. I mean, why not?
Why not?
She needs religion.
There's nothing else to do in town, right? Everyone's here.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's here.
Vellum will look for Sorrel and motion for her to come near so that he can say this quietly and hopefully without drawing too much attention.
Yeah, we'll say we're still outside on the way, and she kind of, like, comes over to you. What's up?
I did have a question. I wondered, do you remember Mayor Governor Thorne?
No. So, yeah, I mean... I've heard him mentioned before when visiting, but he's new to me, too, and I kind of worried about it. First I was like, oh my gosh, Spar has memory problems, I have memory problems, it's genetic, and then I was like, wait a second, we're not genetically related. So, I don't know. I thought I was kind of crazy and didn't want to bring it up. But yeah, no, I don't know about him.
The way that everyone has talked about him makes it sound like he and Luna Vella were very close and founded the town together.
Yeah, I've never heard of him before.
Okay.
I mean, I have, like I said, I have, but not like before, not when I lived here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So wait, does Spar also not remember him?
Remind Ela, has Spar told Vellum this?
Spar has not told Vellum anything about his memory issues.
Okay.
Vellum has had plenty of times that he could have overheard, which is why I didn't jump in.
Could Ela do, like, an insight to see if maybe things click together that Spar has memory problems?
It's too late. We'll just say you... It's a thing we've just... It's okay that Vellum could have just put it together.
Okay.
I mean, Sorrel just said it, so...
Yeah, Sorrel said it.
And Spar's been going around asking suspicious questions like, so this Mayor Thorne who's been here, checks watch, the whole time, checks watch.
I believe Spar does not remember him either. He's not... spoken to me about it. Maybe you could get him to open up about it, but
yeah, he doesn't really talk to people, but he might talk to me sometimes. He talks to me.
Vellum not.
If he's gonna talk to someone, it's usually me.
I'm glad he has someone to talk to.
Yeah, I try to be there for the guy. I feel like if I wasn't around, he wouldn't like eat three meals a day or brush his teeth, so you know, I gotta gotta throw things at him sometimes. Probably shouldn't tell you that. Hey, I have a question for you.
Mm.
Do you like my brother?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you like my brother?
Agent Spar is a very fine agent. He is pretty obviously trying not to look flustered by the question whatsoever.
I'm flipping insight. Hold on.
Okay. I would say this is a low DC.
Well, do you want to do a contested flip or no?
I think you should just flip.
Okay, well then tell me how many successes, because I already flipped. How many successes do you think she needs to know?
One.
Okay, she got three.
Cool. Like,
Great. So he's pretty good. I like him too. Well, you know, if you did like him in the way that we both know that I mean, I think that'd be kind of cute.
Vellum will open and close his mouth a couple times, like, you know, visibly more flustered and unsure how he's supposed to respond to this.
Sorrel Felspar, 5 minutes ago. You know, I'm just really concerned that you didn't follow the chain of command. Sorrel Felspar, now. You know what'd be great is if you bang your partner. That's definitely not unprofessional at all.
Yeah. Yeah, hold on. She's actually going to catch herself because she's like, he really needs someone who's not his sister and not his partner. Well, fuck. That's you. Shit. Okay, well, you're a desk agent, though, and not a field agent, so I feel like it's a little bit different.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't often work this closely together. I mean...
Right.
Vellum just kind of trails off.
Yeah, like, I feel like he has to be close with Ishbala, because they're, like, depending on each other's, you know, to survive. And he's got to go with me because I'm his sister, but he needs someone that, like, doesn't have to be close to, who's not, like, a feral criminal. And, you know, I think that's good. So anyway,
to be fair,
that's me.
He has tried not to be close to Tatiana, but Tatiana is close to him.
Tatiana will not let go.
No.
I would also like to state for the record, in defense of my boy, he takes hygiene very seriously and would not forget to brush his teeth. The eating thing and the sleeping thing, like, yeah, she's got him there.
Okay.
You know, just to continue this scene a little further, Vellum agreeing with Sorrel that, you know, he keeps saying that he's fine and that he doesn't need to sleep. And I do think you have a point there. He does need someone to encourage him to not deny that he needs help sometimes.
If Spar ever says he's fine, be on your guard. That's all I gotta say. Something bad's about to happen.
Okay.
To him, to you, to the world at large.
You see, this is what I needed to know a couple days ago when three mulchers were attacking him.
Oh, that explains a lot about his current state. Well, yeah, see, next time you go on a mission with someone you've never met before, find their closest relative and, like, get the dish.
Okay. Because,
yeah, I could have told you all the important things to know.
Good.
Speaking of important things to know, there's no way for me to make this happen because I'm not in this scene. But I do want to know when Sorrel started hearing about Marethorn. Like, if there's a date when she's like, this was the first time.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, I think it's a thing she could mention.
Is Spar eavesdropping? Because that could be fun, too.
No, for sure he's not. Otherwise, this conversation would not still be happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. There's no way. Okay. So, yeah, she'll actually add kind of like as an addendum as we kind of get to the bridge. And she's like, so, yeah, if it helps the investigation, I first heard of Marethorn 3 years ago, I think, when I was on vacation here.
Had he been mentioned in any letters or anything before that? Or that was the first time you heard anyone speak of him at all?
Yeah, that was... the first time.
Okay.
Yep.
Troubling indeed. Okay, let's go to this church service.
Mm-hmm. So, the inside of the tent, so it's circular, is divided into four quadrants. And each of those has a, like, a differently colored like mat on the ground. So and a statue in the corner. I mean, it's a circle, so it doesn't have corners, but you know, corner approximation.
90 degrees apart from each other.
Yeah. And they are based on, they're all the statues of the four different suits of a playing card. So there is the spade section, which is orange. There is the heart section, which is red. There is the club section, which is green. And the diamond section, which is blue. There are people like situated in different areas. And you can tell it's like grouped, like they are choosing a spot within a certain one of these quadrants. And then sort of at the front of the church, of the dome, is a little table where Mayor Thorne is standing and kind of greeting people as they come in. And yeah, people are taking seats on the ground, crisscross, applesauce. Spar would see a ton of familiar faces here. People he hasn't seen since returning to Clovenheart. One who waves at you, her name is Clarita. She's the owner, or the, yeah, she runs the watering hole around town, the little tavern. She's like, Maram, welcome back to town. I'd heard you, but I hadn't seen you yet.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. The mayor will definitely wave at the two of you. He's like, I'm so glad you guys made it. I was really hoping that you would, so, well, welcome.
Thank you for inviting us.
Your aunt Hilda would take a seat in the heart area, and Lunavella sits in the club area, and Sorrel just sits on Hildy's shoulder.
Where's Anya?
Anya, she's in the spade area.
Vellum will ask Mayor Governor Thorne about the different seating arrangements and if there's a certain protocol or...
Yeah, I'll say there's no rules. It's merely... So what I wanted to ask you guys first and foremost is if you would like to, and it's not a commitment, it's not spiritual, but if you would like to undergo the initiation to bridge. It's super fast. It's fun. It's like a little personality test.
What happens if we say no? Can we watch the service?
Of course.
So what happens if we say yes?
Then we have a little chat, and then you can watch the service.
Would it be okay for us to watch the service and then circle back around over talking about the initiation?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay, well then you can sit anywhere, whether that's with just your friends and family. I will just say, if you want to pick, so there's sort of the four different symbols, symbolize different things, and people sit near the one they feel most attuned with. So the heart, in short, represents compassion and love and art. The spade represents emotional and physical labor. The clubs represent the natural world. And diamond represents wealth and money and resources, just resources here in Clovenheart, because we don't have money. I think Mayor Thorne would add, so it sounds better, also implied with the diamond is a willingness to share with others specifically. Not the hoarding of wealth, but the giving.
Okay. I think Vellum is a little bit disappointed there's not like a science section.
Would he express that?
No. I think Mayor Thorne would need to do a insight or something to tell what's bothering Vellum.
Okay, yeah. Not enough to tell what's bothering you, but enough to be like, what's wrong, son?
Oh, I'm still very, very new to bridge. I'm not sure where exactly
You're
I would...
not even an initiate.
...fit in, right.
Okay, well, I will just say I know you're a brainiac. And
it's the correct term, yes.
The club is the natural, and science and the like is the exploration of the natural. So, you know, Lunavella is a scientist, and she prefers the club. So, if that helps you at all.
He'll nod.
So Spar's gonna say, you know, Mayor Thorne, let's do it. I would love to be initiated. Initiate me.
Oh no.
Okay.
Oh no.
I say it's extremely straightforward.
Great.
So he starts by saying, okay, as you can no doubt tell, the bridge is very based on the imagery of a playing card deck, which I'm sure you're familiar with. However, bridge came first, and the using it for games came later.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, all of this had a spiritual purpose. For starters, we're going to see how well you know yourself. For each of the aforementioned suits, I want you to pick a number between 1 and 10 to see how strongly you associate yourself with each of the suits. I can go over them again if you'd like.
Sure. Go ahead.
All right. A heart represents compassion, kindness, and artistic expression. The spade represents a willingness to work for oneself and for others. The clubs represent closeness with the body and the natural world. And diamonds represents wealth and willingness to share with others.
You want me to give you a number between 1 and 10 for each of those?
Yes, that's correct. And you see that on the table beside him are like a deck of cards split into 4 segments. So like one for each suit.
Sure.
So go ahead and sign yourself. You can do that privately if you'd like, or you can let the world hear.
Well, I'll do it privately. Thank you.
Okay. Let me know when you have your numbers.
Tens all the way around.
As far as use the cheat codes to get the maximum stats.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Hang on, sorry, I gotta make sure that I'm giving Spar the numbers that Spar would give Spar and not the numbers that Esse would give Spar. Just gonna adjust everything down by a few.
Spar does not know himself as well as Esse knows him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to tell the class that is me and Ela what you picked or not yet?
Yeah, I'll tell the class. So, Esse am communicating what Spar has assigned Spar, which is 5 for hearts, compassion, love, kindness, artistic expression. 8 for willingness to work for oneself and others. 2 for natural world and attunement to the body. And also 2 for resources and the sharing thereof.
Okay. Spar's got a 2 in his own body, but a 10 in other people's bodies.
Yeah. That was a real struggle.
All right. Mayor Thorn says, so I would like for you to draw from each of these decks before me. If the number is different from your own, there's no way to be wrong, of course. But if it differs significantly, it does encourage introspection into whether you may not be quite aligned with the self you think you are or wish to be.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and draw from each of the decks.
Okay.
For diamond, Spar gets a 5. For heart, Spar gets a 10. For clove, Spar fucking nailed it and gets a 2. And for spades, Spar fucking nailed it and gets an 8.
Wow.
I think the ones that Spar is most wrong about himself are heart and clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the deck is more correct about him and heart. But both he and the deck are wrong about clubs. I would argue that he's actually much more in touch with body and the natural world than he realizes he is. Mm-hmm. As somebody who deals often in making bodies do things and putting them in places. Yes, Jordan's making eyebrows. Jordan's making SA eyebrows, TM, TM, TM. I would argue also that his tinnitus actually attunes him to a part of the natural world that he doesn't think of as the natural world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, makes sense.
Cool.
Mayor Thorne says, that's all there is to it, kid. Welcome to Bridge.
Thanks for having me.
So where do the two of you take seats?
Well, it seems like the mayor assigned Vellum spades at birth. So, clubs at birth.
Clubs. Mm-hmm.
ACAB.
Wow.
So Spar will suggest that they both go sit in clubs.
Okay. Sure. Sounds good to me.
Luna Vella makes room for you. So Mayor Thorne will explain, obviously over-explaining because they have new people in the room, that in every place that there are bridge meetings, the meetings take a different shape based on the needs of the community. And in Clovenheart, they were actually formed by Kurt. It was kind of his idea, the way that bridge ended up taking shape, which is that it starts out as guided meditation and yoga, because Kurt feels that, like, people in Clovenheart are so busy oftentimes, you know, managing their families' lives, contributing to the community, that they sometimes will neglect the body. And so he thinks that in addition to being a place of spirit, it can also be a place to attune the body. So that is the first, like, 20 to 30 minutes of this meeting is meditation and then stretches.
Okay. This is all right. Is everyone doing it, you know, quietly, not humming or anything?
No, but, sound is okay. Yeah, like, not disruptive sound, like no one's carrying a conversation, but yeah, there's probably some humming.
Okay.
As that kind of wraps up, Mayor Thorne will also say, and once a month or so, we all contribute to a group art project. This year, we've been working on a quilt. If you are here next week, still in town, and you have an interest in joining us for that, you certainly can, but now we'll give a sort of initiate lesson in bridge is in order, because you two actually aren't the only new faces. We've had other newcomers, not today, but over the past few weeks. And he sort of explains the basic ideology of bridge, which finds that the fates of Bicycle arrange themselves like a deck of cards. Everyone's life has finite fortune, finite misfortune. And that, you know, people who have gone through hardships in humility are due successes in the future. And people who are, like, greedily affluent or greedily successful are due some kind of downfall. And also, sort of the implication of that is that by living a more, like, moderate lifestyle, you can avoid too much of either, you know, grief or glory. And that by taking risks in life, you know, we risk greater satisfaction, but also greater failure. The idea is about living in tune with the fates and the balances of the world. Really, finding what sort of life is best for you, because they do very earnestly believe in the fates, not as a god, but as a natural force. And that we can't necessarily escape fate, but we can position ourselves within it in the way that is best for us. The bridge in the name is not the bridge to an afterlife or another world, nirvana. It's a bridge to your truest self. After he kind of talks about that, an assistant, we'll say Aunt Hildy, shuffles the deck of cards, and it is passed around the room, and bridge becomes much more kind of like lively at this part. People just start kind of like catching up and chatting, and everyone draws one card, and it's essentially a weekly horoscope, like telling you your fortune for the week. So do you guys both draw from the deck as you as it is passed to you?
Spar does.
Okay. Does Vellum?
Oh dear.
If Vellum is dithering, Spar will shake his head a little bit. So his idea here behind the scenes is one of them should definitely stay clear of this whole mess, because it's okay. Clearly sus.
Mm-hmm.
But he is volunteering himself to see, like, if more information can be gained by being a part of it. So he wants Vellum to stay out.
Yeah. Vellum will continue to observe more than participate.
All right.
Because, yeah, he also remembers the last couple times that we received cards in this game that were pretty important. And maybe we don't want to do that again.
No wild world altering magic occurs this time.
Are you sure?
Yes. Spar, you draw the Seven of Hearts. And you genuinely feel like a little thrill of warmth within you when you draw this card. And I mean, you can just intuit based on everything you've heard that this is a 7 out of 10 success in, or, you know, luck and love and compassion over the course of the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And essay,
mm-hmm.
you for the next week in game, which is probably going to be like most of his campaign,
mm-hmm.
gain a +1 to charm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I was going to say +1 to empathy, but it's already a 5, so mm-hmm. let's not get greedy. I'm going to give you a +1 to panache, too, because I think that, like, you know, you're more suave.
Thank you for taking pity on me for not having that tie you gave me in the first episode.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm always here to offer pity where it's needed.
Okay, so I have a question about the sort of... the philosophy or guiding principles of Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if you see the events of human life like a deck of cards, that encouraging moderation wouldn't do anything. If there's already a set number of victories and a set number of failures in your life.
I guess if we were to compare it to the rules of the game we're playing, the idea is, like, it's not just 52, though. Like, there could be more. Like, there is a reshuffling of the deck that happens. So if you live in moderation, you're flipping less cards. And that's less chances for success and less chances for failure. So maybe saying finite isn't the right answer, but there's, like, there is a pendulum. Like, it's always gonna... Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's always gonna... There's always gonna be 52 cards. So you're going to, if you get a bunch of success, you're going to find a bunch of failure waiting for you down the road. Doesn't necessarily mean that card, that deck isn't going to reshuffle.
Mm.
Is this a deck of cards without jokers?
No. So when you draw your horoscope cards, like those can have jokers in them.
Okay. So there's 54 cards.
There's 54 cards. You're right.
Cool.
Yeah. So as Bridge kind of wraps up, Hildy's going to approach Spar and say, so what'd you think?
It was definitely interesting.
That's tactful.
It's one of my strengths.
Yeah.
It's tact. Mm-hmm. You've always said.
Since day one. I saw you and, you know, you were like 3 days old and I was like, that's a tactful baby right there.
And ever since, I've tried to live up to that.
Make me proud. Mayor Thorne's going to fly up to the two of you as kind of this is happening and say, well, boys, how did you like it?
I was just saying it was very interesting. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're always welcome here. Any nephew of Lunavella's is a nephew of mine. That's not quite true, but it's not true.
It was very different than I expected, but not in a bad way.
Well, good. I hope at the very least you guys got limber out of it.
Always good to do stretches.
That's what Kurt thought. Thanks.
Sorry, did he say that's what Kurt thought and then correct himself to thinks?
I'm going to say yeah.
Okay. Vellum will remember this.
He says,
is Kurt here?
No, because we're keeping the fact that Kurt is found on the down low, if I remember correctly.
Right, that's what the idea had been, but we weren't sure if Anya and Kurt were cool with that because Kurt liked Bridge so much.
Right. Yeah, I don't think Kurt's in a walking around state right now, so.
Cool.
As a point of order, when Sorrel flies up, Spar reflexively holds out a hand for her to land on, and when Mayor Thorne flies up, nothing. He can just hover.
Vellum was curious to see Sorrel and the mayor's interactions, if they happen to both be in the same area.
Mm. I think Sorrel's giving him a berth.
She's not going out of her way to avoid him, but she's also not approaching him.
No, she's going out of her way to avoid him.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he says, so how is that going, by the way? How is it going with the kid, with Kurt?
Spar's going to let Vellum answer, because Vellum's been handling the tactful, "I'm sorry, ma'am, this is all we can tell you at the moment," speeches so far.
That's true, but he keeps looking to Spar like, "Is this okay?" I guess Spar will interrupt if he starts to say something that he doesn't think should be said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did find some clues. We're still trying to figure out what happened to Kurt. But we're hopeful that he will be okay soon.
Good. I'm also hopeful. Second point of order. Secatan wanted to see you. The two of you.
That's
okay.
Probably we should probably see them. How are they doing?
I guess as good as could be expected. Which is to say, as about as good as someone who had a sword stabbed through their throat can be, which is alive and conscious. So, great.
Yeah.
You know, Josepha's good, but she's suggesting we might want to move Secatan into somewhere in Cindershore where they can get more advanced care than we can provide in Clovenheart.
Hmm. That may be a wise choice, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Spar, you know where the infirmary is. If you would like to head over that way, I'm going to tend to the flock for a while. People like to chit-chat after these things. So, yep, if you need me, I'll be here for the next probably hour or so.
Of course, we wouldn't want to keep you.
Ta-ta! And he, like, tips his hat and flies away.
Vellum waves.
He's like, "That man is so sweet."
Vellum's gonna wait until he and Spar are alone to say what he thinks of Governor Thorne.
Which is?
He doesn't make a affirming sound at "that man is so sweet." He just kind of stays quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Brunhilde will leave you guys to your business. So you guys are essentially alone.
You know, with the way that the concert went last night, I was kind of expecting something to go down during the service, honestly.
If it had, I think I would have just laid down on the ground and let it happen. You know, at that point, they've earned it.
Yeah.
If after wrecking the concert last night, whatever is going on still has the energy to get up and do it again today, you know, I'm packing it in.
That's fair.
They can have my badge. They can have my gun.
I don't think I would like to see you retire, Agent Spar. And this is partially in reference to the earlier conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't think of it as a retirement. Think of it as being involuntarily removed from my job.
Well, I don't love that either, is the problem. But I do like the idea of you being alive and well. So there's that, at least.
Well, thank you, Agent Vellum. I was going to say I do my best, but then I started to second guess whether that's accurate. I try not to lie to my partners in the field.
I think you're doing a very good job.
Thank you.
We'll figure it out. If we don't figure it out,
Sparsh of the danger word.
Between Sorrel and Jack, we've got some smart friends that can maybe help us out.
Definitely.
So Sorrel's gonna approach you guys and say, "Hey."
Spar holds out his hand for her to land on.
Yes, he does. "Hey, I was just chatting with Anya for a second, making sure she's good. And she mentioned that, you know, between then and now she went home, and when you guys get a chance, Kurt wants to talk to you." Which means Kurt's talking, which is wonderful news. I'd say that quietly. Kurt's talking.
Yes, that's good to hear. We should definitely pay him a visit as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Also, let's step outside for a second.
Excellent. Good idea. Yes.
Hey, Spar.
Yeah?
I also don't remember the mayor.
Spar holds her close to his face. Who told you?
Who do you think? Gestures to Velen.
Oh, and Anya, frankly.
Yeah. We haven't talked that much. We haven't had a Spar goss sesh just yet.
Good. Great. Maybe you don't. I don't think you need to have one.
Okay.
Noted. Good. What?
I don't know what the hell that could mean.
Have you talked to him much in the times that you do visit? Does he act like he knows you?
Yeah.
The way he does Spar?
Yes. I mean, he visits when I visit because we go way back, apparently.
Apparently.
I don't like this guy very much. Perhaps this is a bit of a bias on my part, but hearing someone refer to another group of people as his flock is a bit concerning and does feel more cult-like than a religious stand.
I think he meant it a little tongue-in-cheek. It's just the GM giving their two cents, but anyway.
No, I get that, but Velum did not like it, regardless.
Yeah, fair.
It's sus.
Sora will say, well, yeah, I don't really care for him either. There's clearly something weird going on, but I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, well, magic doesn't exist, but I mean, magic kind of exists. You know, it's just, I just can't use it. I guess I'm the only person.
I can't either, Spar says.
Okay.
Hey, Spar?
Yeah.
That note that we had gotten from Gregan's before we left, what did it say about Mayor Thorne? Was it just that he was spreading bridge? Did it say when he first kind of came into the area of Clovenheart? Do we know that?
Jordan is shaking their head no. Now Jordan is nodding.
I'm agreeing that it's no.
Yeah, I think it just listed like that he is involved with Bridge, and that was the only place he was mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I couldn't remember if it was here's a list of residents in Clovenheart that are maybe worth looking into, including this guy who just weirdly showed up one day.
No, so no, but, so
opposite.
Yeah, kind of opposite. He was not listed among any of the other notes. It was like a page I think to have been accidentally included in the notes that you got.
Okay. And there was a list of residents, and he is not on it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's not just an oversight.
Good afternoon, morning, or evening, folks. This is your host, Jordan Quiverns. I am the wingman, GM, and god of this world. Both the podcast world and the real one. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Well, this is Three of Hearts. You probably know that. We are a Space Kings TTRPG podcast. Space Kings is a fun game, and if you want to learn more about it, you can go to spacekings.space. It's created by Kevin Cole in Super Tri Studios. Can you tell I haven't done a Mitro in a while? If you want to find me on social media, I'm at Jordan Quiverns and linked in the description. And my pronouns are they, them. And that's all the things I say in the Mitro.
Excellent. Good job.
Thanks.
This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Velum. He and I both use he and they pronouns. All the music is by Louis Zong. You can find their music at louiszong.com or on Twitter at everydaylouis. The songs that we use are Dogtective for the intro, At Last a Piano for the midtro, and Ghost Plus Guest for the outro.
Hi, my name is Essa. I use she, her pronouns. I play Agent Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find the show at Three Hearts Cast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can follow us for updates about when there's a new episode or something cool we want to share, or just to come hang out. We love that. You can also find us on patreon.com/threeheartscast, T-H-R-E-E, spelled out, where you can find things like outtakes. You can find us playing A Quiet Year about the foundation of Vasa Natura. You can find us just generally sharing other cool behind the scenes and wacky things. And we would love it so much if you'd be able to toss us a little bit of money. It does cost us a little bit to produce the show with things like editing software and hosting. So if you can help, we love that. If you can't help, we love that anyway. Thank you for being here. You can find me online at SA Hex.
Sekitan.
Okay. Yeah, the infirmary is very close to where Bridge was held, so. Yep, just a nice little jaunt. It looks like an infirmary. it's doesn't get a ton of use, luckily, but there are, there's about, I would say, probably 6 or 7 beds set up in this little building. They have the ability to produce more, like, room if necessary, but, like, that's just the default, because, again, not a lot of residents. Ideally, not a lot of people need it. Currently, actually, Josepha's not there. There is some halfling Spar doesn't know. And they say, hey, you're the agents. Is that right?
That's us? Yep.
Great.
Vellum pulls out his badge to show them.
Oh, I didn't need that, but thank you. Very official. my name's Henry. I'm just a nurse. I hang out with Josepha. We don't really have real, like, medical hierarchy here, but I guess I'm sort of Josepha's apprentice. Anyway, Sekitan's right through here. They can't speak right now. We're hopeful that that's not a lasting condition, but they've been writing communication to people, and I'm sure they are willing to keep doing so.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, you see Sekitan in bed with, like, bandaging over their throat and also various other parts of their body. They're sat up in their bed and they have a little chalkboard in their lap, as well as they're reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a biography about, who's it a biography about?
Gray Harrington.
You know what? Yeah, it is a biography about Gray Harrington. It's called Shades of Gray.
Aww. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Essay has closed her eyes in a way that means, great joke, Jordan. I love doing a podcast with you. Did I read that right?
No.
Oh. Okay. Sekitan sees you guys and kind of smiles and then also kind of grimaces for pain reasons. And is like, and waves.
Spar waves back.
Vellum will let Spar enter the room first.
Spar does. He pulls up a chair by Sekitan's bedside and says, hey, you look like you're doing much more okay than people usually are after they get stabbed a bunch.
Vellum will slowly enter the room. He is shaking a little bit. Might not be noticeable to either of them, but that's part of why he wanted Spar to go first, so maybe he wouldn't notice.
Mm-hmm. First, Sekitan writes, people like me are pretty resilient. and then does a line, like, to indicate a new message, and then writes, "I can't thank you enough, Agent Vellum."
Agent Vellum will kind of give a sad smile of, like, he knows how bad it could have gone for everyone involved, and just nods and says, "I'm glad I was there to help." And it's clear that he is struggling to speak around this knot in his throat.
Yeah, I think Zagatam would write, "Are you okay?"
Vellum will clear his throat, maybe pull off his glasses and pull out a cloth to clean them, so he has something to do with his hands to distract himself and to not look at Sekiten or at Spar. And he'll say after a moment, "Yes, I'm quite all right. It's been a wild few days. I'm sure you understand."
Give you a thumbs up.
Spar is free to flip anything if he would like.
I think Spar has noticed, but is also biased about how he feels when his whole parent situation thing is brought up, so he's going to wait to address it in private.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah, Sekiten, like, wipes some chalk dust on their, like, scrubs or whatever they're wearing. I don't know what you call that. Their hospital gown. They say, and they don't say, they write, "I wanted to thank you, but also share something. Somehow, Diamond convinced me to take uppers to release my curse. I would never do that of my own volition, but they asked me to, and I did."
What else do you remember about Diamond or about that evening before you took the pills?
I drank a fair amount. It's not uncommon for me to drink or otherwise intoxicate myself before performing on stage. I get nervous. And Diamond has always had an influence over me. They were my idol. But to convince me to take that drug not only seems impossible, but also cruel. They know of my condition.
Did they seem to be acting differently from when you used to spend more time with them?
At first they do kind of like a more or less like handshake, and then they elaborate and say, "Antsy." They were ready to get out of Clovenheart. Otherwise, no.
You're not the first person to tell me that Diamond can be cruel. I'm not sure really what to think of them myself. I've only talked to them a couple of times, but considering your history together, I wouldn't have expected them to encourage something so potentially harmful to yourself and to others.
Secondhand's writing, and as they write this, their hands are shaking, and they say, "I would never call Diamond cruel. I love Diamond. I don't want to believe Diamond is the person who did this to me. But I don't know what else to believe."
Well, we're certainly going to look into it more. Hopefully we'll figure out what exactly is going on. Maybe someone else has influenced Diamond.
Jordan, did we learn that Diamond is altered?
No. Yep, no. You suspect that Jasper is altered, but nothing about Diamond being altered.
Okay.
I think you guys might have come to suspect that because of the, you know, lycanthropy drugs in the room, but then you guys kind of learned that was not the reason that they were there, so.
Mm-hmm. We hadn't necessarily gotten any migraine kind of vibes from when we were talking to Diamond?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
Secatan's going to say, I want you to believe that Diamond may not be themselves. I want to think that there's another explanation. But if it helps you, they're currently staying in the Cliffside Lodge in Cindershore. This should be for 3 or 4 more days.
How are you feeling? I know.
Just do a thumbs down.
Right. He nods. Would you like us to help get you elsewhere where perhaps there's more medical attention you could receive?
They nod and they write, Josepha thinks that's a good idea. We're already planning to go to town tomorrow.
Okay.
Is there anything we can do for you before you go?
They write, you've already done so much. Please keep an open mind about Diamond.
Vellum nods. You know, any good mystery is not as simple as it seems. And he reaches out and squeezes their hand, trying to be reassuring.
Yeah, they squeeze back.
If you need us, you can always send us a message. I'm not sure exactly how easy that will be, but I don't imagine we'll be very far.
They nod. All right. Do you guys want to have a quick follow-up about what was going on with Vellum, and then we'll kind of end the episode there? Okay.
So when they get outside, Spar will pluck the pack of cigarettes out of Vellum's pocket and light one and offer it to Vellum.
Yeah, Vellum will take it. He's glad that Spar went ahead and lit it because his hands are shaky enough he may not have been able to light it himself.
Mm-hmm. And Spar will, like, sort of take them on an ambling way back towards town. So they're walking.
Mm.
And I'll say, do you want to talk about it?
You know, I'm glad of what we were able to do and how we were able to help Secatan and the others at the concert. It's why I wanted to start Suits. But it's still, you know how when I'm not sure how much you may or may not know about my past, but it's clear that I've not always had a desk job. And he kind of gestures to his leg and the scars on his face.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my parents when I was fairly young in a similar attack. And although I have, it's been so many years now, and I no logically better ways to go around it and how to handle the situation, there's still some part of me that is still a bit terrified. And he takes a long drag on the cigarette.
It seems to me it's perfectly reasonable to be terrified when one's life is in danger. That's what they tell me, anyway.
He chuckles a little bit.
Very quick point of order. Did Spar know Vellum Theron had suits until just now?
Absolutely I don't think not. So.
Okay, I didn't think mm-hmm. so. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, that was a Vellum slip-up, not an Ela slip-up.
No, I figured.
Mm-hmm.
He may have known that, like, the founders were Jack and some, like, KV and just had never thought to put two and two together. Like, those are perfectly reasonable initials.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Besides, everybody knows that Vellum's first name is Agent, just like Spar's.
Yep.
Agent, audio-visual, they call him. Audio-visual and as fuck, the two agents. Anyway, carry on.
Yep. That's them. Got it in one. I don't hold any ill will towards anyone that was involved. It was a difficult case that apparently Anya studied, which was a fun discussion.
Discussions with Anya are always fun.
He laughs again. You know, I want to do more to help people and to prevent things like what almost happened at the concert and what killed my parents from happening. There's just, the world is so big, and he kind of gestures with his hands. I don't know, it's, I try not to let myself feel sometimes, because I guess I'm worried that all the feelings will swallow me whole.
Your feelings can't swallow you whole because they're you.
But what if I can't control them? What if I do something because of these feelings and it hurts someone?
Well, I am, unfortunately, in the line of business of hurting someone a lot of the time. And he, like, taps his holster where he's not carrying his gun, but it would be there. So maybe I'm the wrong guy for this, but unless you are like a pyromancer and your feelings will actually cause buildings to light on fire, which I do not recommend drinking with those guys. It's a story for another time. I'm not sure what losing control would look like for you. Maybe buying three pairs of slacks instead of two. I really don't think that you feeling all the parts of you that there are to feel will make the world explode. It already exploded. You know, in some ways, the worst parts of what could happen happened, and a lot of people are dead for it, and
hey, Essay.
Yeah?
Vellum's going to lean forward and cut Spar off and kiss him.
Spar kisses back.